This is episode number 931 with one of the most inspirational speakers in the world, Nick Vujicic.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Bruce Lee said it best, if you always put limits on everything you do, physical or anything else, it will spread into your work and into your life. There are no limits. There are only plateaus, and you must not stay there. You must go beyond them. I am so excited about this episode. I have just been blown away by everything about Nick Vujicic. If you don't know who he is, he's one of the most inspirational speakers in the world. He's spoken on stages with hundreds of thousands of people, and he's been touring the world for over a decade, changing the lives of so many people to help them overcome their limitations and help them believe in something greater than what they were born with, what they were dealt with, and any challenges that they've ever faced. If you don't know who Nick is, without any medical explanation or warning, he was born in Melbourne, Australia, with no arms and no legs. According to Nick, the victory over his struggles, as well as his strength and passion for life today, can be credited to his faith in God. His family, friends, and the many people he has encountered along the journey have inspired him to carry on as well. And since his first speaking engagement at 19, Nick has traveled around the world sharing his story with millions, again, filling stadiums. And he's established Life Without Limbs Ministry in 2005, and he's currently serving as the president and CEO. And he's also got many best-selling books and a new podcast out called the Nick Vujicic Podcast, and you are going to love it. In this interview, we dive in, my friends. We talk about how being bullied in school shaped Nick's outlook on life and why it wasn't the worst thing for him. Also, why the janitor at his high school encouraged him to be a speaker, the power of self-doubt and how to overcome it, no matter what adversity you're facing or how low your self-esteem might be, Nick's lowest moment when he went into depression, and what he focuses on now when he feels like he may be going backwards in his life, when he met his wife and how he knew she was the one, that and so much more. We just formed a great brotherhood. We had a great business meeting a few weeks afterwards where we sat down and helped him with shaping some ideas for his podcast and his brand and his business moving forward, and got to spend some time with his wife and his team. And just, this guy is an incredible human being, and I fell in love with him right away, and I hope you enjoy this and make sure to check out his videos. If you go on YouTube and type in his name, you're going to see some of the most inspirational, heartwarming speeches you'll ever watch. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And if this is your first time here, please subscribe to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify and share this with a friend. You have the power to change people's lives by sharing this with one friend or posting it on social media. It's lewishowes.com/931 for the link. And you, again, have the ability to help one person today. That's an amazing thing. And without further ado, let's dive into this episode with the one and only Nick Vujicic.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome everyone to the School of Greatness podcast. We have one of the top motivational speakers in the world, Nick Vujicic, in the house. I'm going to pound it, brother.
What's up?
Good to see you, man.
Love you.
Super pumped. Love you too, man.
I'm excited to be here, Lewis.
Dude, I think I saw a video of yours probably like 7-8 years ago online of you speaking at some small school or something where you're just kind of like flapping your foot, maybe you're playing guitar,
or drums. And kicking
yes.
a tennis ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, this guy's got such a positive attitude and such a kind soul. And then at the end of the video, you're hugging like 1,000 kids. And I was just like, I can't wait till one day to hug this guy. So when you came in, I was like,
awesome.
My man, bring it in. Very excited. You've been taking the world by storm with your message of positivity, of living without limits. And for those who are watching or listening that maybe have never seen your story, give us a brief recap of how you were born and really how you became this way. I guess how you're born, what happens, and how you got into this world.
Well, first of all, it's so awesome to be here. Thank you, Lewis, so much for having me. And hello, everyone watching. it's an honor. First of all, my accent's a little watered down from Australia. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
And my parents, they loved me. They encouraged me. They believed in me. They told me every day that I'm beautiful the way that I am. And when I asked them what happened, why was I born this way? They said, well, we don't know why, but there's a greater purpose. Mm. And I love your title, The School of Greatness, because that's what it's all about, leveraging your full potential in not saying and wishing and hoping, I wish I was given more to do more, but doing your best with what you have. Those are the people who master full potential in their life. And I'm never going to be a motivational speaker to say, everything's possible, just dream and it's going to come true. No, not just hard work, but your full potential. Sometimes our dreams don't come true, but to understand with the right attitude, hey, whatever's meant to be, I'm going to reach my full potential. And that's what it's all about. And I didn't know why I was born this way. I didn't believe I would actually become independent, married, now with four kids, traveling around the world to talk about hope was really fantasy. I actually felt like at one stage I had no hope for myself, no purpose.
How old was that? How old were you when you had that?
Yeah, age 6, 7, 8 were the bigger questions that I asked myself, saying, why am I here? Mm-hmm. Why did this happen to me? And I went to school and, you know, kids would come up and they would tease me and I'd try flip it around, you know, on a humorous level and say, you know, they asked me what happened. I just say cigarettes. And, you know, just the oldie but a goodie.
Alcohol.
And, alcohol, right. And, you know, I love pulling pranks, you know, today and doing crazy things like getting my friends to put me in the overhead compartment of airplanes and dress me up as a pilot.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been fun. Traveled now 74 countries and wow. the universal truth of asking yourself, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my value? What's my identity? Am I defined by what other people tell me? Am I defined by my previous failures and what I can or cannot do? And so that whole understanding of who you really are and the self-awareness that we all need to have and embracing who you are, embracing that you are unique, that there's not another you. And that's why my parents always said, Nick, there's not another you. Do your best. Keep going. Don't give up.
Now, usually Serbian parents aren't as positive from my understanding. There's more of a mentality that's more of like pessimistic than optimistic in Serbia. I don't want to be judgmental, but that's kind of the thoughts that I've heard from my Serbian friends.
No, it's true. So we have a mutual friend, Novak,
Yeah. You know, so how did your parents actually instill this in you? Were they always positive, or when you were born, they were like, we have to switch this on so that he doesn't go down a dark place?
Well, the way that I just told you how they encourage me aren't the words that they actually use every day. It was more of like, we love you, but hey, you know, basically, we can't change what we can't change. Right. We can't tell you why this has happened, but it's up to you. You don't know what you can achieve until you try it. Because I have a little appendage on my left side of my body, and it's enabled me with two toes to do, first of all, it's my mobility. I can walk, I can swim, I can golf move, and fish and move and drive my wheelchair. And
it's amazing.
I've had no limits. Like, I've even done Have you done skydiving?
It's funny, my girlfriend wants to do it this year, and I'm like, I just have no desire. I've seen the video of you doing it, but I just have no desire. But I feel like I should probably do it. I think because I have no desire, maybe I should do it.
I don't know. That's up to you.
Okay, good. But I'm glad you're not pushing me to do it.
I'm not pushing you, man. No, seriously. Hey, look, my palms were sweating. My knees were shaking when I did it. But I'll tell you, it was a thrill of a lifetime. I'll never do it after having now kids, though. Now we have four children. Right. And it's just
it's
things
not worth
change.
It. Right? It's not worth it. I went in the Blue Angels. Do you know the Blue Angels?
I do.
Like fighter jet.
That's awesome.
For me, that was the most terrifying thing, to go in a jet with 5G or 6G, whatever we did. And to do the loops and everything, because I get very like dizzy quickly.
Yep.
And I get seasick. I get like when I go upside down, I get nauseous.
Yeah.
So for me, this was a big risk to take.
It's massive.
And for 3 days, I was pretty much sleeping, recovering from this. So I'm just like, I feel like I've done scary stuff.
It's all good.
Yeah, jumping out of a plane, I'm like, I don't want to be out for 3 more days. It's the same thing with bungee jumping. I'm just like, I don't know.
I never do bungee jumping, and I wouldn't do anything just because someone told me to a month ago.
Right.
But for me, my parents always said, Nick, we don't know what you can achieve until you try it. And so they didn't know what I could do until I was given a keyboard, and now I can type 53 words a minute on a normal computer. And
With one toe.
That's it.
53 words.
Yes, a minute.
That's crazy.
And so no one knew what Nick could do unless Nick was ready to try something, but embrace failure as his classroom. Mm. And that was the attitude. First of all, my parents said, Nick, you need to become a millionaire to survive. You're gonna need caregivers. Mom and dad can't help you.
Wow.
You need to start a business in accounting and financial planning, get employees, they're gonna be your hands and feet. And I was 6 years old when they told me that.
Wow.
And so that was the.
You're like, but I don't want to be an accountant.
Yeah. I'm like, that's boring.
Or
right?
Be a soccer player. I want to be
But that was the understanding. I'm never going to be a professional footballer. I'm never going to be a tennis player. I needed to, though, find my full potential. And I'm so glad that it started from ground zero, where I actually started vacuuming the floor of our home with my shoulder and chin for $2 a week.
Wow.
And it taught me goal setting. It taught me being thankful for what I had. And my parents, the Serbian way, they don't give their children everything they want when they want how they want it.
You cry, you complain, they're like, you're not getting nothing.
Nothing, nothing. And it's interesting, now look at the millennials, if they are given everything they want, how they want it, when they want it, when are they ever first thankful for what they have? And second of all, are we really preparing them for what the world is? Mm-hmm. Does the world really give you everything you want, when you want it, how you want it? That's not preparing them. So my parents said, look, we are here for you. Go and do your best and get ready to fail. That's six. Basically at six.
Wow.
What the upbringing was.
It's interesting because probably around six, seven, eight, I was asking, it's probably every kid's asking, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, what's my purpose? Mm-hmm. Or why am I here? Or what, you know, what is this place? And I remember I would get in trouble. I was horrible in school. Mm. Horrible. Always in the bottom of my class. It's the reason I created the School of Greatness is because I created the thing I wish I would have had and the way I could learn something when I was a kid.
It's awesome.
And I remember I would go into the principal's office often because I'd get in trouble. And I would just tell them I wish I were dead all the time, over and over again, getting into the principal's office. Mm. Was there ever a time when you just said, I wish I were dead, I wish I wasn't here? And did you get picked on a lot in school, or were they kind of like understanding of what was going on and friendly with you in school?
And by the way, congratulations on your documentary.
Thank you.
Because one of my inspirational, aspirational dreams that I one day want to harp on that. That's my passion, to reach now young kids about bullying because of me being affected by it. And so everyone has a story. Yes. And I think everyone deserves a documentary, but congrats to you team to do it.
Thank
because it's going to inspire and change people's lives.
So thank you, man.
It's awesome.
Fist
bump, dude.
Yes,
that's
man.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
But that's the point. It's like everyone feels at times that we're our biggest bully because we will always have someone saying something negative, but it's when we walk away, do we believe it? Do we let those voices echo in our mind when no one's watching? And that's when I realized I'm either my biggest encourager or my biggest discourager. And that's where attitude comes in. You know, you have people in your life where they'll keep on beating you down. But if you keep on coming back up, they won't keep you down.
Right.
And so for me, that was the fight that I had to have within myself. And I one day looked myself in the mirror after a big bullying day at school in Australia. And I looked myself in the eyes and said, there's got to be one good thing that I've got going. And just hold on to that, that no matter what happened and no matter what anyone else said that day, that I could hold on to deep inner strength to say, no, but you know what? I know I couldn't play that sports activity, but I was watching and waiting for the first person to be eliminated out of that game. So then I could come over there by their side and look them in the eye and say, good job, better luck next time, how you doing? And all of a sudden I couldn't participate and I was kind of the alien, but here I am, transforming that obstacle into an opportunity and holding on to that and holding on to a physical aspect. Sure, we understand that body is a body. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a mind. And those are the three biggest elements of really who we are as a being. But I did look myself in the mirror and said, Nick, your eyes are pretty good looking and no one can ever tell you different.
There you go.
And so when I look at people, we know that the saying is the eyes are the windows to your soul. And so when someone looks at me in the eye, subconsciously, it's them affirming my value. And it's the attitude of looking you straight in the eye and saying, I acknowledge you, I see you, I'm listening to you, and I'm speaking to your soul and you're looking into mine. All of a sudden, everything else goes blurry.
Yeah.
And now you look at them and smile and say, you know what? Better luck next time. Well, they're telling me what they're going through. All of a sudden, I have depression, I have bullying. But if I can look and reframe my attitude to saying this, if I don't get a miracle, I can still be one. Now, all of a sudden, that attitude redefines impossible.
Wow.
And so it's not a victimization. It's the attitude of understanding, here I am. This is who I am. This is what I have. I'm going to be thankful for what I have. And I'm going to do my best to make a difference in this world.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because sometimes the bullying is actually not that bad compared to how much we bully ourselves, like you said. Someone might say something for, what, 10, 20 seconds at school or a comment online, but then we hold on to it and we repeat it. We repeat it on ourselves.
Yep.
You suck, you're no good, you're not smart, you're not you're not beautiful. We repeat it over and over for days, weeks, years from what one person said for a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
and we attach it to like that bullying. I did this for a long time. Kids would bully, and then I would hold on to it and repeat it for years. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, there are 48-year-old adults who are still trapped by what their father said when they were 9 years old. And we feel like, okay, I've moved on, but deep, deep down, have we actually released those chains? And so it's unchaining those bounds. It's unchaining those fears. It's unchaining those that mentality that really holds you back from actually being happy.
How do we unchain them?
How do we unchain them?
If we've done had it for a day, we hold on to it, or a decade, how do we let go of the bullying or the negativity? Yeah.
One of the greatest tools that psychologists use is actually writing a letter, mm-hmm. either to yourself,
yeah.
or writing a letter to that person, telling them what they did to you, how it made you feel, and how you forgive them.
Yeah. I've done this many times. I've done so many different rituals and letter writing and burning the letter and burying it. Yeah. It's so powerful.
It's been helpful for me too.
Huge.
And no matter how courageous we seem immune to depression, mm-hmm. we all go through ups and downs. We all sometimes need to just take a step back and say, okay, wait a second, what am I actually still chained to that I'm not even aware of?
Is there anything you're still chained to?
There was.
When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS. The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang and a Lufsen sound system, and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours today at Acura.com.
It's an unchaining. I would have to say 18 months ago.
What was that?
Someone hurt me really bad.
Someone close to you, or more of like a business relationship?
It wasn't a business relationship. Okay. I quickly forgive business relationships, actually, because money comes and goes. We all know that.
I need to learn that lesson. I need to hang out with you, man. Because you finish the story first. Go ahead.
Go. We'll come back to that.
I mean, for me, it's been for the last 7 years, I've really learned how to let go quicker because I held on for stuff forever. Mm. I was sexually abused when I was 5. And so I held on to this feeling of like anytime I was always a loving guy, but anyone triggered me with the feeling of abuse, it was like I wanted to destroy them.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Until I started to really start to heal within the last 7 years and practice it over and over. Yeah. But in business relationships, because I was poor, at one time I was like, if anyone ever messes with my money, you know, they're going to get it. But so I've had to learn a lot quicker to like let go of that stuff and just be like, okay, money comes and goes, relax, listen to Nick, you know.
No, the greatest lesson is just losing all your money twice and then coming back.
Is that what you do?
That's exactly
no
what
way, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that happen?
At age 19, I was in the stock market. I was in real estate as a teenager.
And then
I learned how to day trade.
Wow.
And I did that as a college student. And then I went all in on a bubble. That burst in 2001, 2002. Yeah, that's when I lost 40 grand.
Ooh, and that was everything for you.
That was everything for me. Now, before I lost that, I gave away 30K to orphans in South Africa because that was my goal. So, okay, I don't want to miss the other question though.
Yes. How do you unchain the bullying or the hurt? So you first said 18 months ago there was a situation.
Okay.
Someone hurt you.
Right. Maybe we should leave that. Okay. Let's we've got so much to talk about.
I know, right?
Okay. So because my parents grew up poor.
Yes.
They taught me to give money back to the poor. Mm. My parents were in refugee camps. They met in Australia. They fled Yugoslavia in the 1960s. My grandfathers were both jailed and tortured for their faith. So coming back from such a humble beginning and then seeing my dad work his butt off, 3 different jobs, plus my mom working, hustling all the way through while we grew up, we basically grew up in my grandparents' home because they were just trying to do everything they could. And so we got to a stage where they're like, hey, you gotta hustle, become a millionaire, all that kind of stuff. My dad taught me, learn financial literacy. Mm-hmm. That's how I got into it. Mm-hmm. And then I lost my money the first time at age 19.
And you're probably thinking, well, I just learned financial literacy, but maybe I'm not that smart after all.
But I took that failure was my classroom. Remember, I was always getting ready for a no. I was always ready for a falling of an attempt that became a failure because that's how I learned how to become successful. That's how I realized I don't know what's possible I don't know what's impossible until I know what's possible. Mm. That was the mentality. So when I lost the money the first time, I got back up.
Wow.
I lost money.
The second time? When was this?
January 2011. I had a cash flow crisis. So you know business. 85% of businesses fail
in the first three years.
Right?
Yeah. So wait, 10 years later, you lost how much? All of it?
Yeah, I lost,
You weren't married at this time?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
But
I did meet my wife, and now I'm like, bad timing.
Oh, man.
So someone stole 50 grand from me.
Yeah.
And then I had
In
2011. And then I had a cash flow crisis. And so the other parts of business is the failure because of success. Weren't ready for success.
Of course.
Okay. So all that to say, I know that money comes and goes.
Yeah.
And you can always pick up your shoes, bread and butter. If not bread and butter, go bread and water.
Right.
And exactly. Then go back to
exactly.
And you just keep on going. Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're the only person
yeah.
who's going to stop you from trying again.
Right, of course.
Period. Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
And you look back and say, now I know what I know. Mm-hmm. I will never come back here again.
And we're not going to take the money with us.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you lose it, you're not going to have it if you're dead.
That's
either way.
That's it. That's it.
It stays here.
Right. But I'm driven now. Now that I'm married, four kids. And I want to make a difference in this world, leave a legacy. Nick ain't giving up. He'll never give up. He'll never slow down either. I ain't retiring.
What's the purpose of that?
What is that? Around,
man? We got to make an impact in the world.
Exactly.
Too many people that need to be served.
I heard the saying that the jet runs fastest on the end of the jetway.
Ooh.
So with all your contacts, with all your wisdom, with all your knowledge and understanding, you actually are most productive in your last 10 years,
wow.
believe it or not, with less work. And so We're the same age.
Same age, man. You're a few months older. Yep. December and March.
Yeah. You're a little taller.
Exactly.
But in all of understanding where we're moving forward from failure to failure. So it's not failure. I don't like the word failure or success as much as valleys. Valleys and mountains. Mm. After every mountain peak, there's another valley. Mm-hmm. And you keep on going from success to success. But when it comes to going through the ups and downs of life, you do sometimes have a monkey on your back of unforgiveness, mm-hmm. of something in the past that you... Yeah, all
anger,
that.
Frustration.
All that. So I had...
So tell me this.
So
yes.
Here it is. And the amazing thing about happiness, Lewis, two things. The people who can unchain themselves of the past are the most happiest. And those people who actually intentionally practice an attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. I've met billionaires. I've met 21 presidents, prime ministers, vice presidents. I've spoken in front of 10 governments. I've been on the internet. 2 billion people know me from the internet. Been on TV to 730 million people for 90 minutes of my time. Like just a whole keynote to 700 million people. That's 10% of the world. And now we're focusing on America. But when I've done all that, looking back, I realized until 18 months ago that I've been carrying something that someone did to me in 2007. And I actually wrote about it in one of my books. Wow. But no one really reads my books.
Wow. Okay.
They're going to see me more on the podcast
than
I
will. They will.
With you. But in my second book, I talk about how I fell in love with a girl in America back as a teenager. We were both teenagers. And her dad was a mentor of mine and encouraged me. But when he found out that we had feelings for each other, he didn't think that I was good enough.
Suitable.
If I
provider.
Can just put a verbal kind of just umbrella. Not for my daughter kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
And so
you were 17.
I was 19.
19.
And she was also a teenager. And we walked away, but I was waiting for her for a very long time. And unfortunately, when I could finally let her go in my heart, my mind, this was 4.5 years of waiting. No dating. Waiting. Oh, silently waiting for her to...
No contact.
No contact.
Oh.
Finally, we saw each other again. And it was like the first time I could actually think of her, look at her, and talk to her after all those years and feel like, okay, I can actually look at her just like any other human being and not have butterflies. Finally, I could let go. And then guess what happened?
What?
She fell in love.
With you or someone else?
No, with me.
No way.
So like when we first met, sparks were in the air.
Wait, was this 18 months ago?
I could
ago?
Wait. No.
Wait.
Ages ago, this is like 2002.
Yeah,
we first fell in love.
4.5 years.
She said, "I'm not ready for a serious relationship." I said, "I'll wait for you for 4.5 years."
Oh my gosh.
And I waited. I'll wait for you. No time frame. Finally saw her after 4.5 years. She had sparks, just like we had when we first met. And she's like, "I actually might be stopping the biggest blessing in my life by not moving forward with you." Her dad still refused, and her whole family said, basically, it's either Nick or the family.
Shut up.
And that was so hard for her, and it was so hard for me, and we'd never really had closure on that, and I never really forgave her family until 2 years ago. And it wasn't like I got to talk to her whole family. One family member reached out, and we had a conversation, and it helped me to like, wait a second. Here I am, I'm married, I love my wife with all my heart, yeah. I love my kids with all my heart. You'll never forget your first love, for sure. No one ever forgets it. But to actually be missing a part of my heart or thinking at all in some aspect, way, shape, or form of that rejection, it was me. Whether or not people say sorry to you is not the point. Whether people understand that they've done wrong to you or not is not as much as a point of you actually saying, whether they say sorry or not, it doesn't make it easier even sometimes because you can still hold unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the attitude of understanding, I need to let go mm-hmm. of things that I need to let go for me. Because if I harbor unforgiveness, I already have no arms and no legs. why add another disability?
Exactly.
Right? And so I feel like we all go through that. And it's all got to do with attitude. Who am I? What have people done to me, said to me? Just like that. It's all bullying. But what do you still subconsciously believe that you still haven't addressed?
How do we get people? I mean, there's a lot of people watching, listening, are saying, yeah, that sounds easier said than done. How do I truly let go of hurt, pain, resentment? And I love, there's a quote that you said, fear is the greatest disability of all.
It is.
And I think probably a negative attitude is probably one of the greatest disabilities of all, too. I don't know if I don't want to speak for you, but it's if you don't believe in yourself and you have this negative attitude constantly, you're disabling yourself for all the good and all the love and all the joy in your life.
Yeah.
So how do we, you said writing a letter is one strategy.
It's one strategy.
What's another? I mean, it took you, what, 10, 12 years to let go.
Right. So going back to any depression or letting go. So first of all, when I was a kid, going back to bullying and stuff, ages 8 to 12, I was depressed. I attempted suicide at age 10, believing that I had no future, believing that I had no hope, believing that people's opinions on me defined my future. Failure defined my future. I was just in this very unhealthy spiral. So there are three things to get out of depression. Number one, what I ritually do is I'm a spiritual man. And so apart from prayer and believing that God gives me faith and purpose and help, I actually ritually write out the things that I'm still thankful for. And intentionally every day being thankful for what I have. And not just the things that I have, but I'm actually writing a book actually on attitude right now. And one of the things I wish that we all did more is stopping and going back to the last thing that could have happened even worse.
Yes.
And being thankful. So
that it didn't happen worse. Yeah.
And I know
I'm
that
alive.
Sounds...
No, I didn't lose my foot. I can speak. I can see everything.
Okay, so watch this. My dad died of cancer.
Wow.
Okay, 2017. I'm thankful he didn't die in a car crash that I could still say goodbye. Yeah. I'm thankful that my whole family was in California when he got diagnosed with cancer. Can you imagine if half of us were in Australia and half of us were in America?
They were all here.
We were all here.
Amazing.
Really, and not saying that's a cop-out, or it could always be worse, and then what do we say about the orphans and the people who were human trafficked? Well, I've seen human trafficked people go through a rehab, find their spirit and their faith and their value once again, to the point that not only are they mentally healed, but watch this. They get a job, save up money, and they go with a buck. Talk about forgiveness and letting go and transforming into a miracle to let other people let go of their chains. They save up money, they go with a bucket, a white towel, water, and they save up $700 cash in India. I've been there. And they go back to the pimps and madams where they were once being abused by, they were kidnapped by them, and they said, I've come here to wash your feet.
Shut up.
No.
Shut up, they do not.
No. I've interviewed these girls.
Oh my gosh.
They've talked this way. They go back with a bucket of water and a white towel and said, and I want to show you the symbolism of my forgiveness. Oh my soul goodness. Has been restored. I am a brand new person. And I know what you did to me was so bad. And I don't know why you've chosen this path. You've got money, you've got power, but your soul is lost and you haven't found happiness. And I've come here today to tell you that I held unforgiveness until I found the forgiveness for myself of the things I've done wrong. So I've seen, I'll get to the three points of getting out of depression, but I've seen from brokenness to triumphant victoriousness, victory, where this sex slave forgives that person, washes their feet, hands them money and says, give me that 10-year-old.
Oh my God, so he buys them from them.
Buy them.
Wow.
That 10-year-old girl is told by the 19-year-old, you're my sister and that'll never happen to you ever again.
Oh my gosh.
They go through rehab, they find a job, they save up money, then together they come back.
They don't, dude, they do. This is crazy.
If that's not redemption, Lewis, I don't know what is. So do I believe in redemption? Absolutely.
Wow.
So if you really believe in redemption for even the failures of your own self and the redemption of broken pieces being turned into something beautiful, then we must be able to forgive ourselves.
Wow.
We must be able to forgive others, because in the end, we only harbor that negativity. So moving forward, the three things to get out of depression. Number one is still be thankful for what you have and be thankful for what could have gone worse, right? That didn't happen. Number two, talk to someone. I feel like
this is key.
I feel like
especially that, for men, most men never express how we feel.
No.
I wrote a whole book about, it's called The Mask of Masculinity. It's about opening up and being more vulnerable as a man, because for 25 years I held on to shame and resentment. And right when I started to talk about it, it was when I started to set myself free. So sorry to interrupt, but talking to someone, person, can transform your life.
And I think especially when you become a visionary and you become successful, you actually realize the value of having friends, real friends, who can be like a men's group around you, who can encourage you, and you just share life together. What's going on, man? We, you know, well, this week, you know, I have a men's group once a week, and we do life together because we need each other. And so talking to somebody, being transparent with them, and getting that encouragement. And thirdly, actually helping someone in need where you cannot ascertain, nor even is it in your mindset of waiting for them to look you and say thank you.
Just where, being in service,
and,
giving.
Yeah, and that instigates purposeness. Many people are depressed because they don't know what to live for. They haven't found something yet to die for. When you have found something to die for and live for, when you know why you do what you do, that's when purpose gives you the strength to override all limitations and fear. Purposeness was key for me. And that's what I wanted to tell you as a teenager, that no matter what hell I went through, I tricked my attitude into a positive mindset. How did I do that? I focused, just like I looked myself in the eyes and said, I'm holding on to the eyes. Hold on to a goal. My goal was to give money to orphans. So I put a picture of an orphan on my mirror who's smiling at me. I didn't know who that orphan was. And I knew no matter what I was going to go through that day, that I'm a day closer to making a difference in someone else's life. And the reason, Lewis, why I became a speaker was because a janitor, you're going to love this, it was the janitor at my high school who looked at me and said, one day you're going to be a speaker. And I said, you're crazy. He was the first person to encourage me to start speaking to students at my school, which led me to a public school speech where in front of 300 sophomore students, I was just sharing my heart, and one girl was weeping. Half the girls were crying, but one girl was weeping. And she interrupted my speech. She put up her hand in the air and she said, I'm so sorry. Can I come up there and give you a hug?
I think this is the video I saw,
And she came up and she hugged me. She said, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. And that's when I knew I was born to be a speaker. And I realized, wow, here I was at 10 years old trying to commit suicide because I had no hope. Now finding hope and helping other people find hope for their own life, it's the greatest drug I've ever found in my life.
It's amazing, right?
It is. And that's why we're here in America establishing a whole new platform in corporate America, because it's not just the teenagers who lack self-belief. It's not just the teenagers who bully themselves. It's not just the teenagers who have problems dreaming bigger. And when they see a man without arms and legs on stage saying, what's your excuse? Wait. What attitude do you have? Why? Let's adjust that and let's see the trajectory of where you really could go. If this is what I've done without arms and legs, what can you do?
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. What you know, one of the things that came up for me is someone said this, I can't remember who, but you know, holding on to resentment or being angry at someone is like drinking poison and expecting them
to die.
To die, right? Something like that. Yeah, I'm getting the wrong.
No, you know, you're right.
It's something like that.
You're right.
And so the more we hold on to this resentment or even just, I feel like the more we hold on to depression, anger, resentment, and negative attitude, it's like we're expecting someone else to be hurt by this attitude or this resentment, but we're just hurting ourselves.
Right.
And that person continues to abuse us over and over again, the more resentment we have. So we only can set ourselves free when we start to forgive.
There's other proactive things, and I love that. There's other proactive things that I'm actually writing about in my upcoming book. In the next couple of years, it'll come out in Attitude. But I've learned something about me that I've never learned before, just recently, which is being proactive and actually realizing and being aware of those triggers being found when I go into a room. in my mind. How do we get to that place? Is it when we're tired? Is it after we've had a drink of alcohol? Mm-hmm. Is it when we're missing something? Is it when we fail?
We didn't sleep well.
Is it a music? Is it a song? Is it a mood? Mm-hmm. And trying to be fully, now I'm not getting so scientifically, but no joke, I actually found the triggers that took me to that room.
Mm.
And
what
I started cutting it out. So believe it or not, this is the first time I'm ever sharing this on public.
This is what happens
this
here,
is
man.
Public.
This is
good.
What happens in school greatness.
It's awesome. I love you, man. You're
Come
awesome.
I love you too, man.
So, so no one knows this, but I've got now chronic back pain. So I have really intense pain that kicks in about 5 or 6 p.m. every day, no matter what I do.
Yeah.
Just to sit up straight. You can see that I'm not sitting up straight.
Yeah.
It takes a bit for me to just sit up straight.
Yeah.
And so with that, in the Serbian culture, you can ask anyone. We grew up seeing my parents have a glass of wine a day.
Every day. Yeah.
And that's it. It's just normal.
It's
that's it.
Yeah.
And so we were surrounded by that. And so what I found myself doing was going towards that, but also taking the edge off the pain of my back. And when I did that, especially when I'm traveling, that's when your mind kind of like, hey, I can now relax. And sometimes it's so easy being away from the wife, being away from kids, that some of those other issues come up and you start going into that room, then you start playing some songs that you're reminiscing, and then it's just a trigger effect. And what I realized was I never want to be dependent on something at all, because when you're
a substance
on any way, shape or form, it's not like I had a problem with alcohol as much as I actually challenged myself. I took 2 months not drinking anything, was fine, then did another 3 months, no problem. But knowing that's going to eventually end, I'm like, I wonder if that itself is enough. So I'm transparently telling you, November 16th, 2000.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
19, I made a commitment to myself that other than special occasions to have one drink, so my birthday, my family's birthdays, my anniversary, Valentine,
New Year's,
those 8-9 days of the year.
Yeah.
My twins are born on the same day, so I can't do two. But I'm off alcohol.
Really, man?
Completely. Completely.
Congrats,
and
man.
Thanks. And that,
that's big.
To me, was big. It was big.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you probably have a lot of pressure, especially in the space that you're in, to, you know, you're speaking about positive mindset. You speak a lot. I do a lot of motivational speeches in corporations, but you also do a lot in the faith-based Christian community.
Yep.
And you probably have a lot of pressure to show up a certain way every single day.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're feeling pain, I mean, it's like you got pain, you got stress, you got all sorts of stuff you're dealing with.
Right.
So.
And I promise I never took a shot before I went on stage. That's never
good,
happened.
That's good.
But I mean, for the record, but no joke.
But no,
yeah, you're right.
Perfect, man. We're all human beings.
But no joke.
And I've never been drunk in my life.
It's awesome.
I've never been drunk.
Come on.
I've never been
that's
high.
That's awesome.
I've never taken drugs.
I've had
a couple sips of alcohol here and there, but I've never been drunk.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, I have other vices, don't worry, I'm not perfect. I have like sugar, candy, cakes, you know, it's like all of it. But I remember saying to myself, when I mess up in life, I don't want it to be because I'm on a substance and making an excuse.
So good.
I want to be able to say, yeah, I was an idiot. I made a mistake. I screwed up. It's my fault.
Yep.
And I'm the one to blame, not this thing where I was on this influence.
Right.
But I think it's cool. So why have you never told anyone about this? Why is this the first time publicly? Were you feeling shameful by it? Were you feeling
No, it's almost like I haven't written a book for 5 years. And they said, so what have you been learning? I'm like, well, let me tell you some stuff. But what was beautiful about that, it's actually making the most of life. There's two other stories I want to bring into this on the alcohol thing, because then you understand the full context of things. My kids, I used to jump on the trampoline. My oldest now is 7. So when he was 2, we used to jump on the trampoline. I used to run around. My back got worse in the last 7 years. I can't do as much. But then after I have a shot of whiskey or scotch, which is what I really enjoyed, or a glass of wine, I don't feel like it. And he looked at me as a young kid. I think he was only 4 or 5 years old. And he knows that daddy, he's a smart kid. Smart kid. He knew what jet lag was at age 5.
Wow.
And he said, oh, daddy, I know why you don't play with us, because you're jet lagged, right? But I hadn't been in a flight for 3 weeks. And I'm like, man, if I didn't take that shot, I would have had the energy to remember that. And that was like, I'm missing out. My son's missing out. I'm going to be the best me that I can be. I don't want to take medication for my pain until I really need to.
Yeah, or maybe some natural herbs or a CBD. Something like that,
But my wife as well, after I have a glass of wine, like I'm a little bit more relaxed, right? And when she makes me laugh or when something funny happens, it's not like I go giddy, like, I'm not like that. But I wonder when I was wondering subconsciously, does she think I'm actually smiling or laughing at what she just said more now because I just had a drink?
Right.
But I'm like, no, that's got nothing to do with influence. So I want even every word and interacting moment that I have with my wife. And I'm a little different, Lewis. You know that I've lived on the road.
Yeah.
And you know that I'm a person that I'm thankful when I'm home. I don't want to be 30,000 feet in the air anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why you inspire me, by the way, with this model. But
I love this.
But no joke, I want to make the most of every day. And 3 months ago, I lost one of my great friends in a car accident. And he was married to a girl called Bernadette. Check this out for a story. You think I have an issue? You think we have? Okay. Just like a story of just pain and friends. So we were friends, and I'm writing this in our book. I haven't asked for permission, but I'm sure they'll give us permission. But two couples that I've known, a couple in Ohio.
That's where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Akron area. A couple in Ohio and a couple in California. Mm-hmm. The husband in the couple of California came down with leukemia. Mm-hmm. And the wife of the couple in Ohio, she had bowel cancer, colon cancer. Mm-hmm. They both died around age 39, and these couples knew each other, were all friends. And they bonded as couples going through the same thing, and chemotherapy and all that kind of deal. So the husband, who now's wife, died. And the wife whose husband died, they got married.
No way.
Now, this couple in California had a child at 1 year old. That's when the husband died here. They had no children. He came to California. They got married. They had a child.
Wow.
And at 10 months old, that child, he died in a car accident. So imagine this woman in California who loses her first husband to cancer and then has a child, and then 5 years later loses her second husband in a car accident at 39 years old.
Lost her husband, not the son. The husband.
Husband.
Wow.
So now she's left with two children from two different fathers within 5 years. And I look at this woman, and I was able to speak at his memorial service, but I look at her, and I won't share her name, and I'm like, wow. And she looks at me and she says, I don't know what good is going to come from this. But you look at her and she looks at me in the eyes and you just see she's never going to give up.
Mm.
And she knows that someday, sometime, somehow, maybe she's going to be able to inspire one other person to not give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the human spirit that we must understand, the crux of every cloud or funk or curveball or depression or whatever you want to call it. It comes back to, who am I and why am I here? Your value is not determined on your past. Your future is up to you today. You loving yourself, embracing yourself, not judging yourself, being able to forgive, but being the best you can be proactively, being self-aware. Don't let you, yourself, get in the way of you.
Yeah.
It's not to say that everything's possible. It's not to say that everything's smooth. No, we all go through ups and downs. But I needed to get out of my own way to reach my full potential and then take one day at a time. When you can't think of thriving and you can only think of surviving, mm-hmm. that's a reality. Mm-hmm. You've been through that. Mm-hmm. I've been through that. The strongest of motivational speakers have been through those seasons, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't beat yourself up. Take one day at a time and go one step at a time, and eventually you will come out of that valley mm-hmm. and come on the other side of that and say, yeah. Wow, I'm glad I'm where I am, because people look at me, one last thing, Lewis, people say, wow, Nick's strong, he's courageous, he's a man of endurance. They can ask me, Nick, do you think you're a man of strength and courage and endurance? I said, yeah. They can say, well, why? I said, because I know what I've been through. Mm. We've been through what we've been through to become who we are today, to conquer the next barrier. And so we've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on going. And I just hope that people see the smile on my face as authentic and the peace and strength that I have in my eyes, never to pretend that I've got it all together. Mm-hmm. No one has it all together.
That's true, man.
But if we can get ahead of that curve, we can get rid of those negativity aspects and move out of that room and shut that room down. Fire excuses. It's like, here I am. That's where I want to go. How can I help myself focus on that next goal? Keep on going. Knowing that your value and your happiness has nothing to do with money or fame, but being happy, content, and embracing every day. I could die today, Lewis. Mm. Happy to. I know where I'm going. Wow. Couldn't care less. Yeah. When I die, I'll die at the right time. I don't think about death as much as I think about life, and I live it to the fullest.
Man, I want to ask you a few more questions because this is powerful for me. The first one is self-doubt. Mm. I'm a big believer that self-doubt is the killer of dreams.
It's great.
And the more we doubt ourselves, the less joyful we're going to be, the less happy we're going to be.
Yeah.
You said something about money and fame. You know, putting those things as our value, it's not going to make us happy if we value those things
yeah.
for our happiness. How do we overcome self-doubt? If everything is telling us we're not good, we're stupid, we don't have the skills, we don't have the value, no one cares about us, our parents left us, this person cheated, this person stole, this whatever. Mm. How do we build self-belief when there's so much self-doubt?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I always encourage people to first define what their goal is and where they want to go. Mm-hmm. What they must understand.
You sound like an athlete.
Do I?
This is all I talk about. I learned lessons from sports, and it's like everything starts with the goal for the season.
That's great.
I look at life as seasons because in a sport, you have usually 3 months in the season. Mm. And then there's the postseason, then there's an off season, then there's a preseason. Mm. It's kind of like the four seasons of life.
It's good.
But everything you need to have is a goal. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
it's great.
I'm glad you're speaking my language.
Great. I'm glad. So my book's not going to help you. But it's true. That's exactly what it's all about. So first defining who you are, where you want to go, but also seeing your dream and your goal, not as something, but actually as a baby. And you're parenting and you're nursing and you're nurturing that dream. Now, no one says that their parents were perfect.
That's true.
So we're never a perfect steward of our dream.
Oh.
And when we look at our dream, we kind of think of it as, well, which season am I in of this dream and how do I treat it? Take baby steps first. The best way to build self-confidence, which is the opposite of self-doubt, is to set small goals. Do what you can now and start building on that confidence. You can't build confidence without a track record.
It's true.
And you can't wave a magic wand and now all of a sudden your dream's coming true. Mm-hmm. It's taking one. What's the first step? You know? And if the baby falls down trying to walk, you don't. You pick. Okay, let's try again.
There's an amazing meme online. It says something like,
You know, when a baby falls 1,000 times when it's trying to walk, it doesn't say to itself, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah, I love right? that. Just, I love that.
Oh, I fell down. Let me get back up. Yeah. It's not like, well, maybe I shouldn't walk because yeah. I failed.
Yeah.
No, you need to fail over and over again.
Right, right. That's and beautiful. That's part of the process. Yeah. Thomas Edison said, I didn't fail 9,999 times. Now I know 9,999 ways in how not to make a light bulb. Yeah. And to have an emotional, psychological...
It's a framing of it.
It's a framing of it. Mm-hmm. Attachment. It's a framing of your dream and goal to almost be you're birthing a baby. You're not birthing a baby, but you're nurturing a baby so that thing can become giant and run and strong. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to help it. You're going to help. You're almost like you're putting yourself in the baby's shoes. Okay, what's my first step? Mm-hmm. And so that's it. So taking if you want to become a speaker, go to a seminar. Yeah. Read a book about speaking.
Go to Toastmasters.
Go to start somewhere. So many people say, I ask them, what's your dream? I guess one day I want to... And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever written your dream out? I'm like, hey, wait a second. So how much money do you want to make a year? And they tell me, I'm like, so is that before or after tax in California?
Exactly.
I'm on 54% tax, all right?
It's like, man.
It's a difference.
It is.
It's like, okay, so and you want to get married? And how many kids do you want? Mm-hmm. And you want them to go to college? So wait, how much money do you really need to have in the bank to actually get a 5-6% interest-bearing right. mutual, you know? You know, it's like...
Sure.
I said, yeah, do you know anything about compound interest? No. Do you know anything about, how much do you save? None. How many credit cards you got? Three?
I was like, that was me 15 years ago, yeah.
Do you really believe in your dream? Have you ever really been honest with your dream? And I'll never forget, my life changed reading a book called Money Secrets of the Rich by John R. Burley. His book changed my life. And I went to his boot camp in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we did this thing where we had this breakthrough exercise, right?
Yep.
And my dream was to become a speaker. This is 2002.
Wow. Man.
Okay. This is when my
like
mom said,
baby.
My mom, what do you mean you're going to be a speaker? She said, do you know a speaker? I said, no. Do you know, this is Australia. There was no Aussie motivational speakers. Wow. If there's a motivational speaker in Australia in 2002, they were American.
Yeah, right. Okay? The American that came over here.
Exactly. No one was making money. It was an industry that was not even heard of.
Dead. Maybe it
was
Tony Robbins came over one time.
That's
or something.
It, yeah. Right? That kind of thing. My mom said, what do you mean you're going to speak? She said, what are you going to speak about? I said, I don't know. She said, do you have any invitations? I said, no. She said, how are you going to get the invitation? I said, I don't know. She says, but all these things, really good questions. But I said, I don't care. When I knew my goal, I didn't care how many times I had to fail because I defined that goal for me. I went through a breakthrough event, really cool exercise that most breakthrough events do. On one side of the piece of wood, you put your goal. On the other side, you put your fears that you got to break through. So these people, they punch this piece of wood and they crack it, right? And I didn't walk on hot coals because my pants were going fire. Yeah. But I headbutted this thing, right? And it defined me.
Really?
That one exercise? It was a defining exercise.
Are you breaking the side of your fears and the goals on the other side?
Yep. Yeah. My fear was...
You're facing your fear, you headbutt your fear.
Yep.
And then you have the
breakthrough. Yep. Wow. And I realized, like, there's a lot more to my story with my parents, but my parents were so scared about my decision to become a speaker that they said, you must do your accounting and financial planning degree for a plan B, which is great advice, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah, sure.
But I had to break through the fear, what if my parents never talk to me again? And that was extreme.
Yeah.
But that was in my head. I didn't want to disappoint my parents. They did everything they could for me. Why now disappoint them?
Right, right.
Is this my stupid, you know, crazy little fantasy? Or is this what Nick's going to do? Mm-hmm. And that was the moment, like, Nick's going to do it.
Wow.
With or without my family.
With or without them. Even if they're not there for me, I'm doing this because it was a part of your dream.
Exactly.
And I think we need to be guided by our dreams. We need to be driven by our dreams.
Yeah.
Because if it's staying in there and we don't pursue it, then what?
You're right. And I'm not saying, now look, I wasn't married. I wasn't engaged.
Right, right.
Now that you're married, if you're married, that's a different thing. Well, with or without my wife, I'm going to...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different thing.
You got to learn to communicate to 100%. Renegotiate your dream.
Right.
You know,
and seasons and commitments
exactly.
and them to believe in you exactly. and what's the trigger point to success? When do you give it up? When do you not give it up?
Exactly.
Though, that's a whole different book. Exactly. That's a really good book to write, actually.
Should write that book.
I should write that book.
Talking about your, you mentioned your wife a few different times throughout this.
Yeah.
When did you know your wife was going to be your wife?
Mm.
What's the biggest lesson she's taught you? And what is it you love about her the most after all these years?
Gosh, I love those questions.
So when did you know your wife is your wife?
Okay.
Biggest lesson she's taught you?
Yeah.
And yeah, start with those two.
So we met in April 2010 in Dallas.
Okay.
We had sparks and fireworks in the air. I couldn't feel my legs.
Almost 10-year meeting.
Wow. Meeting, right.
Couldn't feel your legs, yes.
Yeah, and you got that, yeah. And then there was a complication. She had a boyfriend at the time.
Well, that's a big complication.
And there's more to the complication. But we were not in touch for 6 months. Oh. And then we met up, and the chemistry was huge. And we started developing a friendship and then went into dating. And 3 months into dating, that's when I lost all my money the second time.
Oh, wow. So she was there for you when you had nothing. Uh-huh. That's when you know this girl's amazing.
So
wow.
I had more money than the average 19-year-old gives away 30K cash, then loses 40K, then comes back with the money, then goes back into real estate. So my mom's like, just make sure your wife, as a teenager, make sure your wife never marries you for your money.
Right.
And the question was like, but how would you ever really know?
Now you know.
That's impossible.
You gotta get rid of it.
So,
wow.
12 weeks after our dating, I lost it all.
What'd she say?
So, first of all, Nick was not Nick.
Oh, you're in crazy mode. You're in survival mode. I'm panicking.
Panic.
Running around without legs on.
Lewis, I woke up 30 days straight with panic attacks.
Oh, man.
I was not myself. I'm
heart
the motivational.
Palpitations.
Yeah, all that stuff. It was terrible.
Your legs are trembling.
Yeah exactly. Sweating all the time. I'm on the floor. I don't even know what to eat. I don't know what to wear.
Losing weight.
It was bad. I've never been so low in my life.
Wow.
Sure, when I was depressed with, some other things in my life, but this was really, and the worst timing of all, like I'm supposed to be at best now to develop a friendship who could be my wife. And I finally told her what happened. She said, don't worry, babe, I'm not going anywhere.
Wow.
I said, babe, I lost all my money. She said, don't worry. Like, straight, don't worry.
Well, how long did it take you to tell her?
It took me 2 weeks to actually, she knew something was wrong.
So what are you just like, everything's fine.
She was in Texas, I was in California.
Oh, okay.
I said, look, I'm not myself. She said, I'm coming over. So wow. She said her friend's home. And we talked during the day, and then I finally was with her, and it took me 3 days face-to-face before I could really tell her anything.
Oh, my God.
She said, so what happened? I said, I lost all my money. I said, 4 things happened within 3 weeks. Cash flow crisis, then someone took the money. I just took on more than I could chew. And I said, I lost all my money. She said, don't worry. I'll get a nursing job and support the both of us.
She did not.
In a split second, she looked me straight, and I'm like, man, wow. I want to marry you.
You said that?
No, I'm thinking.
You're thinking.
I'm thinking.
Wait a few months.
So that was the day.
Okay.
That was it. And then 6 months later,
she
was in Dallas, and I was in California, and we had a text going on. And it was the first uncomfortable moment where, like, we were not on the same page with something. And she was going into the shower, and she just said out loud, I just want someone to fight for me.
My gosh.
And what it was there was an issue of just an uphill climb of what we had to together do together. And it was uncomfortable. And I felt on my heart, I'm just going to pick up the phone. She picked it up while she was in the shower. She turned off the shower. Said, babe, I just want to give you a call to tell you I'm going to fight for you. Word for word, verbatim. And that's when she knew I was her husband.
Mm.
3 months later, I popped the question. I got the ring and a cream puff with a tray of cream puffs. I got her to feed me the cream puff. Wow. And I finished the cream puff in my mouth without choking on the ring. I went down on her finger and she thought I was getting kinky. And then I pulled back and put the ring on her finger. And 6 months later, we got married.
Wow, man.
So that's when I knew that she was going to be the one. What was the second
biggest lesson she's taught you in the last, how many years you've been?
8 now.
8 years.
We just did, our 8th anniversary celebration.
Okay.
The biggest thing she's taught me, she is quicker to love people, quicker to forgive people than me. She has a huge heart. Her heart's bigger than Texas.
Wow.
And She's not afraid to dream. She's actually probably the most intelligent woman I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
I just look at her after she said something, I'm like, she is so wise. And I'm like, man, that would have taken me. I didn't even think I'd ever come to that epiphany. She just says it straight off the cuff. I'm like, So she to me is a woman of discernment and wisdom and clear, just cut through the crap. Mm. There's no fog in her life. Like, she just, it is what it is. This is what you should really do.
Right.
And that's, I'm like, okay.
Don't do this deal. Yep. Don't hang out with this person. Yep. Yeah.
Just straight up. Not that she offers it, but I ask her for it and bang. So she's taught me that there's always a path. And to do things together, I think, is what my best friend taught me. Mm. She's my best friend. But to do things together is so important, because if you don't do things together, you've missed the whole point mm-hmm. of living.
Wow.
And being content with where we're at, and to not freak out. She sees me freak out. She's Japanese, Mexican, okay?
My girl's Mexican.
Awesome.
Full Mexican. Does she speak Spanish?
Yeah, she does.
No way.
Born and raised in Mexico, man.
No way.
Yeah.
Where?
Zitácuaro, Michoacán.
What is it?
Michoacán. It's a state, yeah, north of Mexico City.
Yeah, no, Michoacán. Yeah. Yeah, my girl's from Monterrey.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah. Her mother's from Monterrey, yeah.
Well, double date, man.
Of course.
That's amazing.
Si se puede, como no.
I need to learn Spanish now. Are you fluent?
You understand 70%.
My mission is to get a full-time teacher this year.
It's good.
In the next month. It's great. I'm trying to find someone to come to my place and teach me.
It's good.
I feel like it'd be the best skill I could learn.
I'm sure someone watching a podcast
I know, right? I'm a fluent salsa dancer.
Ah, yeah.
I've been salsa dancing for 15 years around the world. I like the top salsa clubs. It's a blast. So I'm around the culture and the music all the time.
Man, I love watching people dance.
It's a blast.
If I had arms and legs, the first thing I would do is dance class. No joke. I love it. Anyway.
So the thing you love about her the most?
So the thing I love about her the most is that she's calm. She's collected. She's wise. And she's taught me to be happy and not freak out at anything. You have no idea. She's still in the process of getting her papers. Okay. She had a rough life. Her mother left.
I can imagine.
Her mother left the family when she was 3. Her dad died of cancer when she was 18.
Wow.
She was alone in the house with her brother, took over her father's fish breeding business to just sustain, and then she came to America with her brother, speaking no English,
wow,
not finishing high school, came to America to start all over again. So she's been through a lot, I've been through a lot, but together it's like, wow, I feel unstoppable when I'm by her side, and I just gotta sit down, calm down, because I'm like personality A, you're right, just my brain. And she's taught me to switch my brain off. And I want to share one last personal success with all of this. When I go to the dining table and I bring my phone, she grabs my phone, she puts it on the highest bookshelf.
She's like, jump for it.
Right, exactly. Do it, try it. Let me see, entertain me. I'm not a doctor on call. No one's going to die. And I was so adamant about time management, prioritization, and reverse engineering. Where do I want to be? And where I wanted to be, I achieved in 2018. Lewis, I'm looking you in the eye and telling you, for a year straight, I was able to, with 17 employees, one for-profit company, one non-profit company, 17 employees, I'm CEO of both. I switched off my phone every week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Wow.
I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 hours a day.
Wow.
When I'm not traveling, that was my week.
That's inspiring, man. It especially with 4 kids. That's got to be inspiring.
Amazing.
Well, you just learned to prioritize. Right. What are the things I need to do, and who do I need to hire to do this for me?
Exactly. Delegate.
As opposed to work harder.
Exactly. So now I'm going through a massive rebranding, though.
Yeah.
Now
we're going to help you.
Thank you. I'd love to figure that out. Man. But the bottom line is, I don't want to travel internationally anymore.
Yeah.
Between my back, my physical.
Kids.
I don't know how I'm going to be in 15 years' time, but I want to be there for my kids. I want to be there with my wife. And having that opportunity, even for me, it's a scary transition. It's not like I've got millions in the bank saying, oh, yeah, let's throw a half a million at this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't want to work to become rich. I do enough work to get what we need. To reposition is not an easy task.
It's not easy, man.
For anyone.
I've been through a rebranding of my website for like 8 months. Yep. It's like moving to a new office, letting go of agencies, hiring people. It's a lot of energy, time, money.
But it's amazing. It's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And if you look at nickvujicic.com today, I don't know, look at it today.
Unless you want to book this guy to speak, look at it in a few months. Hopefully it'll be rebranded.
I'm just going
to
say, it's a miracle because we actually put no marketing or branding.
Man. I don't know how you do it.
I'm sometimes in some countries, I'm top three speaker.
That's crazy.
And we've done no marketing and branding.
In the U.S.
And so I've been spoiled.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so now I'm like, hey, America, I'm here. I want to go all around corporate America and help all the companies use me as a megaphone, as almost like a physical demonstration of what they've been trying to tell their team and sales team. Hey, we have no excuses. Let's run and let's live a life without limits.
It's hard to sometimes hear from your partner, your spouse, what they need to hear. Sometimes you need to bring someone else who they can respect and be inspired by to say, okay, it's time to do what you told me to do 3 years ago.
Right.
Exactly. So, it's amazing.
I get it.
What's the thing you're most proud of that most people don't know about you? There's something you've done, something maybe that you haven't announced to the world, or maybe something you've done that no one knows about, not even your wife or your kids, or something that is big that you're proud about as well, but something most people don't know about.
I have to say that every entrepreneurial visionary needs some spark, not just of continuing to create and build and innovate, but to give back. Mm-hmm. And I've silently been mentoring, and I might actually start a podcast category just for it, but coaching CEOs of nonprofits. Mm. So I've had 15 years of experience of nonprofit. I turned around our nonprofit from where it was from different directors that were hired. I was kind of the speaker, the founder, the president, but not the CEO. Mm-hmm. And I took over about 5 years ago, and I learned a ton in the last 15 years and basically helping nonprofits who are doing okay. You know, most beginning nonprofits, they'd be happy with $30,000 to $100,000 in the bank. Mm-hmm. And we help them go to the next level.
Wow.
And it's just an hour with me and the executive team and the CEO. Sometimes it's 4 hours. I love whiteboarding. I love helping them define their next goal. How do they change this? How do they change that? And I've learned that any big organization, they cannot change 20 things. But if any organization, for profit or nonprofit, if you just hold on to two or three things per year to change, and you do two to three a year, massive change happens.
Yeah.
So they're now triple in the bank.
Wow.
One of them just has done phenomenally well. And I'm actually now mentoring because of my friend who lost both husbands.
Mm-hmm.
I actually Googled, what's a nonprofit that helps widows? And apart from Bill Gates' whole deal, there was only one. And it's run by three widows.
Wow.
And they've done the biggest uphill climb of nonprofit registration, being able to give actual money to a widow. Because here I am, and I asked the local church, I said, can I give a tax deductible receipt to a widow through the church? And they said, no. I'm like, so I had a call with these women. I told them who I was. They said, but what do you want for it? I said, nothing. I don't want you to even tell anybody. Now I'm telling everyone. But I'm just saying.
You just wanted to serve.
I just want to serve. And so there's something that no one knows. I love seeing other people fulfill their dreams.
Yeah, I love it.
And using the talent and the skill, if I can help fast track 15 years of education in a year for free, I would do it. And so what we're doing is I'm getting so many requests that we may have a whole list of content and even maybe phone calls that we could do.
Sure.
and just helping many nonprofits. You know, there's 1.2 million
nonprofits
in the US alone.
That's crazy, man.
So many people are saying, well, Nick, how did you break it? How did you do this? How did you do that? How did you build the team? And all those kinds of things. And so that's something that many people don't know. And if I don't do that, I feel incomplete because I want to pass it on.
It could be a whole podcast series.
Right.
Just how to help nonprofits scale, grow.
That's it. And they'd subscribe.
Absolutely, yeah.
To all the content. I don't know. I think I bring value to that. So we, after this show, Lewis, are going to brainstorm.
A lot of things, man.
And
it's going
to
be great.
I'd love to learn from you because this is interesting, right? Here I am as a worldwide speaker trying to actually rebrand myself to put my stake in the ground here in America like never before.
And I'm excited for you.
And it might take a podcast and all this stuff that I'm going to pick your brain on.
We're going to talk after for sure on this. I've got a couple questions left for you. Before I ask the final few questions, I want to make sure that people do hire you to speak. If you got a big corporation, hire this man. If you're a decision maker there, send it to your boss. Where can they go if they want to book you or learn more about booking you for speaking?
NickVujicic.com.
NickVujicic.com.
It'll be there. By the time this is up, it'll be there.
It's up there, yeah. Go there. We can also follow you on Instagram, Facebook. You're on Instagram.
What's the most? We're at the same. I'm hearing you're growing like crazy, but we're at the same, 1.5.
Okay, cool.
And then English Facebook, we have nearly 10.
10 million?
Uh-huh. But I've hardly done nothing. That's English. And then I've got 2 million in Spanish.
And then we don't do anything with it?
No, we're starting now.
Okay.
See?
Just how growing without doing anything.
I didn't do anything.
I got 10 million fans.
I got 10 million. It's exactly what happened.
This is so simple.
Wow. I worked my butt off around the world to get that.
Right. And people,
But we didn't strategically build it. So, I mean, that's organic.
That's amazing, dude.
And that's just the little barometer of what it took to inspire. A billion people on some sort of level.
It's amazing. So Instagram, Facebook, just your name.
Yep. Nick Vujicic, NickVujicic.
Nick Vujicic.
That's it.
Where else can we follow you or support you? You've got 5 or 6 books. This is one, Life Without
Limits. Yeah, Life Without Limits. That's our bestseller.
Amazing.
We sold over 1 million copies of that.
That's it?
It's in 40 languages.
You're playing small, man.
Again, no marketing.
It's crazy. 40 languages, go get this book.
So now 1.1 million, you there guys. You go, thank exactly. you for selling out those copies. But yeah, go to any bookstore on that. Just go online for that. But yeah, I'm writing a new book coming out on attitude. I want to take the attitude space. I feel like that's the one thing I could talk about when it comes to happiness, depression, overcoming. Exceeding your own expectations of your limits.
Yeah, relationships, everything.
All of that. So we want to do an attitude checkbook and just help everyone to have the premium attitude to have the optimum altitude.
I love it, man. This is a question. It's called the 3 truths. I ask this at the end of every interview. So imagine you've accomplished and achieved all of your dreams and you've lived a very long life. You've lived as long as you want and then at one point you got to go, right? And hypothetically, you've got to take all of your content, books, materials, video, audios with you. So no one has access to your spoken or written or visual word any longer. Hypothetical. But you have a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you get to write down your toes or your mouth.
Yeah.
You get to write down 3 things you know to be true about everything in life that you've learned. These would be the only 3 things you could share with the world, your 3 lessons to the world. I call 3 truths. What would be yours?
How long can the sentences be?
As long as you want.
All right.
Yeah. Truth number one.
Truth number one, you're beautiful just the way that you are and you have value. Number two, you've been created and designed for a greater purpose. Find it and run for it. And the third thing is, even facing death, there's hope. It's called heaven.
I love this, man.
And so that for me, I understand we all have different philosophies and religious beliefs. I understand that. But for me, I've found nothing limitless like that. That even if and when, not if, but when I face death, and however I may face it, every day I know that I have value. I'm achieving my greater purpose, and I know that this ain't it. Mm. And when you have that, then you make the most of everything you have, because not only are you doing good to be good, to know that you are good, but that you actually do good, do well, to even change the trajectory of eternity for other souls. Mm-hmm. And if you could encourage people to know that there's a wonderful thing called purpose and eternity, that to me is the bottom line. Yeah. But when you have that in your mind, go for your dream.
Yeah.
Keep running. Never give up.
Yeah. Now imagine that you're able to broadcast live to the entire world, and everyone could understand English. And you had you could only say one thing to the world.
Yeah.
And you had 30 seconds to share a message, and the whole world was tuning in at this moment. What would you say to the entire world?
I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that your broken pieces can somehow and sometime will come together for the good to be something beautiful. Mm. I have a history of brokenness and pieces in my life, and I tell teenagers it's always worse being in a broken home than having no arms and legs. So it's not about what brokenness we have. It's about holding on to the beauty that will come from them, where if you can help someone else in need, that's when you realize you don't need a miracle to be one.
Ooh, that's good, man. You're a great speaker.
That was 30 seconds.
I love it. It was on the dot. You got it in the time.
Is that good?
I love it. Dude, before I ask the final question for you, I want to acknowledge you, Nick, for your generosity, man. You have a huge giving heart to serve people. Mm. And it's not easy for a guy with arms and legs to fly around the country the amount of times that I do, but for you to do it hundreds of times a year, year after year, to serve, to inspire, to lead, to create hope for people, mm. and to tell people they're beautiful and they matter is a beautiful thing, man. Mm. And I want to let you know that I value your heart and your effort and your energy towards service. Thanks, I really appreciate that part of you. So I acknowledge you for that. And so many things. I'm excited to hang out. Hope we can double date soon before you
head. Definitely. Some Mexican food.
I'm in, man. My final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Greatness. Humility. Believe it or not, if there's only one factor. Because the moment you think you're more important than somebody else, is the moment you have clipped and limited your own full potential. Mm. I think the greatest barometer of greatness is humility, because with a humble heart, you're happy, you're thankful, you have a servant heart, and you know that every single soul matters. Mm. So you take time to make the most of every opportunity with everyone. I think humility is, out of all the words that I could have ever said, would be, to me, greatness.
Mm, Nick, my man. Appreciate you, brother. Love you, man.
Love you.
Beautiful, man.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother.
My friends, if this didn't inspire you, if this didn't lift you up, if this didn't help you overcome the limitations of your own mind, I don't know what will. Nick is one of the most inspirational speakers in the world. You've got to check this man out. He is an incredible human being. Follow him over on social media. Check out his new podcast. Check out all the stuff that he's doing at his website as well. We'll have it linked up over on the show notes at lewishouse.com/931. And you have the ability to change and impact someone's life today. I want you to think about someone close to you, someone who's a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, someone at your job, someone that you work with that could be using inspirational messages like this in their life to help them improve, help them grow, help them move forward in their life with passion and power and clarity and confidence. Send them this link, lewishouse.com/931, and you will become a hero, a champion in their life by being the catalyst that inspires them to grow and just continue to stay learning on a daily and weekly basis, because we always need to be learning in order to grow, in order to improve. Otherwise, if we stop learning, we start slowly dying. And I want you and your friends to keep learning. If this is your first time here and someone sent you this link, give them a virtual high five, give them a hug, send them a text and say, thank you so much for sending me this episode. I appreciate you thinking about me. I appreciate your generosity, your kindness, and your thoughtfulness really means the world to me. And keep spreading the message. Again, subscribe to our podcast over on Apple Podcasts, over on Spotify, and share this with your friends on social media. Tag me at Lewis Howes. Make sure to tag Nick as well, as I'm sure he would love to see what you think about this also. You can check out our YouTube show. If you're not over on YouTube, go subscribe on youtube.com/Lewis Howes. Put our videos out there. We have some amazing video content out there that will inspire you if you want to watch the videos as well. And I'm just so grateful that you decided to show up here when you have lots of different choices online to learn and grow from. Again, Bruce Lee said, if you always put limits on everything you do, physical or anything else, it will spread into your work and into your life. There are no limits. There are only plateaus. And you must not stay there. You must go beyond them. My friend, I know that you might be feeling some type of adversity and challenge in your life right now, whether it be work, your inner confidence, relationship, career, vision for your future, family. There's something in your life that you might be struggling with. And I'm telling you, if you continue to work on yourself, if you continue to improve and you continue to serve other people around you, show gratitude and appreciation for your life and continue working towards your dreams, your goals, you will start to manifest and attract all the goodness that you want in your life. It's coming for you. You must keep working and you must be patient and grateful at the same time every day for the efforts and the work that you put in on a daily basis. You are deserving of so much goodness. You are deserving of so much love. You are love. You are purpose. Start showing up that way and you'll start to attract it in a magical, beautiful way. I love you so very much. I'm so grateful for you. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.